Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry about the echo.
So welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. This is your host, Lawrence Drink, a.k.a. Sparky Lee, as you all know me. I want to thank you for all my viewers, listeners, and nationwide as we sit there and, you know, just open the platform for the right to say what you want and not to have to apologize. And if anybody has anything they want to talk about or argue about or disagree with, my number is 805-621-1176. Anything I say, I do not take back, and I do not apologize for. Just a heads up. And so if anybody wants to speak anything I say or anyone of my guests say, you can feel free to give me that call. Today we have a special guest. His name is Aaron. He's from the Get to Know Stop program on YouTube, which pretty much throws people out there that, you know, doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing. And he takes a lot of pride and joy in being that community watch and to let people know what's going on. And most importantly, just to talk about what nobody else is talking about. This man has got a pair of balls on him, you know, and he doesn't apologize for anything he says as well, and that's why we get along so well. So I'm going to hand that off over to you, Aaron. Do your thing, brother.
All right. First of all, just let me say thank you for giving me your platform to come and fit my message out here today. Secondly, I want to thank everybody who's listening to this live right now, who will listen to this later in a replay. Go watch this in a week from now. I appreciate you listening to this from the bottom of my heart. I mean it. What my message is an extremely important one, but it's probably the least most popular and the least most talked about subject out there. But I feel like it's my duty. I have to do this. It's my right to change the way things are right now in our country and around the world. Let me give a shout out real quick to all my YouTube friends, all my YouTube subscribers. Outlaw Trucker, Batgirl, Cunningham, Team Row, Sugar Glider, I love you, baby. Robin Banks, all my whole entire huge channel, 200 subscribers. I love each and every one of you with all my heart. Charlotte Webbing, thank you for all your management for me and getting me help me get my stuff going here. So, can all my in the chat, can you put a 28 in the chat if you can hear me just fine, and just the radio broadcast just fine too, please?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Again, my name is Aaron. My YouTube, I go by Get to Know on YouTube. Why that channel Get to Know? Because we all get to know. It's important that we know what I'm about to talk about. The subject I tackle and I speak out against is childhood sexual abuse, awareness, penalties, and days for parasites is what
Aaron,
I call
you're
them.
You're breaking up a little bit, bro.
I'm breaking up real bad.
No, just a little bit. You're good. Just let you heads up. Sorry.
What's that?
It's better now. Go. You're good.
Okay. I want my platform to be a place where people who have been essayed and people who are parents of children who have been essayed, I want a place for them to be able to go and be able to talk to other people, you know, like-minded people who have had this horrible thing done to them as well, so they can relate. You know, it's kind of like a drug addict going to a drug counselor who's never done a drug or even seen a drug. You know, I mean, it's hard to get advice from somebody who really don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? So one of the biggest things for me is I want this platform to be based for men to come and talk about. I know that there's a lot of men out there that have been sexually abused in the past, and they refuse to speak about it. They carry around that guilt, that dirtiness, that whatever, that negativity from it for their entire lives, because we're men, we don't talk about that kind of shit. Just get over it, you know, kind of deal. And for me, I was that guy. I was that guy for a long time. I refused to talk about it. I waited for 6 years, almost 6 years to tell my parents that I was even sexually abused, and I thought I had overcome that with it, and about a year and a half, 2 years ago, it came rushing back in on me, and it hit me like a freight train, and then there was basically by myself of like, what the hell do I do now? So my counselor got together, put a game plan together, and I felt like that trying to make a difference in the world in the United States and around the world with childhood sexual abuse laws and penalties, just creating a work would be a good way to start myself, actually, honestly, for some of my life. So I first started with a faith called Get to Know. It's a private group, so if you want to join, you gotta ask and be accepted. So that started out about 2 years ago. It's doing all right. We're doing pretty good. We're chugging along. We got 250-plus members in it. You know, I mean, it's nothing huge, but that's 250 people that know that they can go somewhere and talk about their problems when it comes to this kind of shit. The next thing I want to see, yes, sir.
I do have a question. What kind of responses have you been getting since you've been putting your show out there? Because I was a guest on your show as well. But what are the responses from some of the men that you're getting?
You know, as crazy as it might seem, I didn't think that. First of all, there's not very many men. There's been a couple of them that came out and about their past trauma on the channel, which is great. It's amazing. But a lot of people have sent me emails and death threats and hate mail telling me I need to stop doing what I'm doing, and they're gonna kill me. And, you know, I mean, don't flatter me. I mean, like, talk about flattery, you know what I mean? Like, this person's literally going out of their way to tell me that they hate my guts because what I'm doing is wrong. Like, all I'm doing is trying to make the world a better place for our children and our future and shove parasites down. So obviously they're either a parasite or they support pedophilia. So either way, you can just get out of my channel, you know what I mean? We don't need you around anyway.
Yeah.
So
no, I just wanted to ask that question. You know, I know it's rough.
Yeah, when I first started this journey, I never thought for a million years would I ever meet such resistance from people. Like, pure hatred, like legitimate death threats, you know what I mean? Like, I just never thought that I would get a death threat for something like this, you know? But that, I mean, yeah, that just goes to show you exactly what kind of people these people are. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care. I mean, you know, it's really messed up, man. So.
And you got some support from your family and stuff like that, right? Where they, you know, I know you're married, and you know you're involved. You have a very.
Maybe turn that down a little bit.
Like, huh?
I was talking to my wife real quick. Sorry.
Oh. No, I was going to say, because I know you're married, and, like, the support you get from your wife, how much does that help you going forward with what you're talking about and what you're bringing awareness to the community?
Well, my wife and I met 18 years ago. We've been together since the day we met. We got married shortly after that. We bonded as tight as we did because my wife herself is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. She, her stepdad and five of her friends came and spoke out against him. He admitted to doing it, but since there wasn't no forensic evidence or any of that shit, he walked out of the courtroom. My mom, my wife's mom literally disowned her for speaking up and saying that he did this to her and her friends. Person, the parasite that abused me, he never seen a single day in jail for my abuse, and I know he never stopped. And he had been charged one other time back in the 70s, early 70s, and he ended up getting a slap on the wrist and getting out. He received another one where he had to register as a sex offender back in 86 or 87, something like that. And that's it. It's the only time he's ever been busted. But I'm telling you right now, this parasite has never stopped abusing children. So my wife gets pregnant and our son gets born, and I just looking at how precious he was, you know what I mean? I just couldn't imagine me in 4 years from then being him being sexually abused in 4 years, because that's how old I was when my abuse started. So my wife and I tried coming up with ideas and what we would do to keep our kids safe. We vowed to each other that we would not let our children become victims of sexual abuse of any kind. So from the very moment we basically figured that they could understand the words that we were saying to them and comprehend them and what they meant. So, you know, 2.5, 3 years old, we just started teaching them about certain things, you know, like certain areas of the body, the chest area, the front private area, the bottom, you know, those are no-no squares, you know. I mean, you don't have to get all dirty about it and any of that shit. So, I mean, so we were like, okay, so we're good there. And we talked to him about it, you know, here and there, here and there, here and there. And like, so how do we keep this going as they get older? And we just talk to our kids, man. Like we'll be sitting there having dinner or whatever. And all this out of the blue, I'll be like, hey, has anybody ever sexually abused you? You know what I mean? Take them off guard. And regardless of how old they are, if you ask anybody a question that they are trying to hide the answer to, and you ask them that question, they're going to show you signs that they're hiding that actual answer from you. You know what I mean? So just by their reaction, how they would react to us, we know that my kids are safe. You know what I mean? So I guess that's really, you know, she's my wife is my driving force besides my community. And, you know, just the idea of this message getting out to people and actually helping people. Hi, Team Rose. People and just innocent kids being saved. And like I've already had a couple of kids listen to what I was saying with their dad and their mom. And they literally came up to him. The one kid right here in my house, well, not in my apartment now, but in our old place, came up, like, he heard what we were talking about, and he was in the other room, and he came up right up and knocked on the door, and he's like, Dad, I need to talk to you. His dad was like, no, just a minute. He's like, no, Dad, I was like, hey, you better go talk to him, man. So I just let the kid in, and he's like, Dad, Uncle So-and-so is doing that shit to me, man. So, you know what I mean? So just knowing that this message is getting out there really helps me keep going, because it don't matter to me if my YouTube channel ever gets big or if it stays small. I just know that with every single person that watch channel and hears my voice and hears this message, it's going to reach more than just that person. They're going to retain that information. They're going to carry it on down to their family member, you know? So like, knowledge is power, you know? So if you don't want your kid to become a victim of childhood sexual abuse, what do? You educate them at a very young age. You continually educate them throughout the rest of their life, man. My daughter could be 35 years old and I'll still ask her, you know what I mean? Like, hey, you know, is somebody messing, you know what I mean? Is your husband hitting you? You know, I mean, she's not even close to being that old yet. So, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I will still ask my children those questions when they get older as well, you know. I mean, we have got to do something now. We should have done something years and years and years ago. ago about this. So if we don't make some big changes, some drastic changes now, it'll be too late, and pretty soon everybody will become a victim of sexual abuse during their childhood. It's inevitable. I mean, just the thought of it. I mean, if you just look at how it's progressed in the last 10 years, the numbers have gotten way worse, and that's because it's becoming more normalized. Judges, prosecuting attorneys, making deals with pedophiles and their attorneys, and they don't ask the people who got abused. You know, it's just it needs to be done, and this is the way I feel that I will be able to do my part to help protect everybody's futures, man. No child should ever have to feel what that feeling is like when somebody violates you at a young age, whether it's sexually, physically, emotionally, mentally. Nobody deserves to be abused, man. And if my future depends on my children, and I don't keep safe, what does that mean for my future? If I don't keep my children safe, what does that mean for their future? So this is the way I feel. This is how I feel I can do my part, straight up. And I will not stop doing this until I draw my last breath on this earth. Whether I have 202 subscribers in my channel, whether I have 2 subscribers in my channel, or I've got 22,000 subscribers in my channel, I will never stop doing this. Ain't nobody's gonna stop me doing this.
Yeah.
That's it. Nobody will stop me on my mission.
And I do encourage everybody here to check out his website or his YouTube channel, because not only does it expose, but it educates and it brings awareness. So if you're a single parent, if you are, you know, a mother in a toxic relationship that maybe just possibly you could put your child in that position. I mean, this is parenting 101. I mean, it really should be. This should be a class taught on, you know, what signs to look for. And Aaron does a really good job on teaching that and expressing that. And not only that, just, you know, giving the survivors their voices back, you know, our voices back. And it's truly amazing what you're doing, brother. And I encourage anybody to, if you want to drop this man a death threat, please do. If you want to drop this man a heart or a I love you or a donation or just a, hey, thank you, brother, please do. I mean, I'm sure he welcomes all comments and questions and, you know, whatever. I mean, but for what you're doing, brother, I mean, this is kind of like prison reentry, you know. It's not a very popular name, and people are like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about things that need to be talked about. We're bringing awareness and educating those around us to be better communities and people. And I just commend you on that for what you're doing. Like I said, I enjoy your show. I enjoy all your shows. Actually, I've been watching them. And it's just, I like the bluntness you have. You know, the honesty.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to, basically. Like, I'm going to just say what I'm going to say. And my buddy Chupa always tells me, he taught me when I first started this with him. And he's all, you know, if you don't like it, here's my number. And I always love that about that. You know, it's just something that, you know, it's accountability for what we're saying. And just, like, you know, forget the haters, brother. And I really do appreciate what you do, man. You're giving a voice back to the voice.
Hey.
The way I look at it is
my haters are just as important to me as my subscribers. If nobody's out there hating on me, then I know I'm not making a change. You know what I mean? So keep on. It don't matter to me. So
yeah. And where do you see what you're doing in the next 5 years? Like, where do you hope to go with it? And what do you, I mean, I don't know even how to phrase that question, but Where do you hope to be? I know where you're at right now, but where what's your goals with what you're doing in your cause?
In 5 years, I would like to see a complete overhaul of the National Sex Offender Registry. It's a brilliant concept. It's a good program, but it's a failed program all at the same time. I would like to see a major change in the penalties and when it comes to these kind of crimes against children. The sentences that they got now, they're too light. They don't give any kind of incentive to encourage a person to want to change. You tell somebody that you're going to touch a kid and you're going away to prison for 30 fucking years. That's going to help some people. That's going to help change people's minds. But now it's like, you touch a kid, we'll give you your own little apartment where we'll keep you safe. And you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. They even keep these guys safe in prison. I mean, here in Idaho, they built their own little subdivision off the side of the prison where they house all the sex offenders. They don't even have to go through general population. You know, like, it's ridiculous. So I'd like to see a major – I see Get to Know and subscribers of Get to Know a major change that's going to grab attention when if you're a pedophile to the penalties. Like, the judicial system, the first thing prosecuting attorney will do will go straight to the defendant and offer them a plea bargain. And they won't even ask the person that pressed charges of being sexually abused. And I think bullshit. No plea bargains for sex crimes, period. Period. No matter whether you're in Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, you know, Idaho, California, Texas, don't matter. Like, no plea bargains for pedophiles, because when that pedophile violated me, he didn't give me no plea bargain. He gave me a lifetime of difficulty. He didn't cut me no slack. He didn't cut me no break. And the next biggest thing I see us making a change to within the next 5 years is the way that once you're a convicted sex offender, there shouldn't be no getting off the sex offender registry. Just because you do 5 years on the sex offender registry, and that doesn't take away the fact that sexually abused a child, like. Yeah. There's no special list that I get to get that title of being a victim of sexual abuse. I don't get assigned a special list. I don't get special credit. What's that?
Well, in California, they have a tier system, but the problem with that is that depending on what tier you are, it's like a 5, 10 year, or whatever, like the small ones, you
right.
know. But
it's like that in Idaho.
Yeah, but, you know, I've seen, you know, I don't know. My opinion on this is
Let me cut you off real quick. Now I got to put this out there, okay? Just because somebody is a registered sex offender doesn't mean they sexually offended somebody. Like, Idaho, you can have to register as a sex offender for getting caught taking a piss in the park. So there's different. I mean, yeah, there would need to be some crimes pulled out that really aren't sexual offenses that shouldn't be on there anyway. So with that said, I mean. You know, I mean, I like to consider myself well knowledged in this category, and I really wish I wasn't, but I am. Yeah.
No, you're right. It needs to be looked at because this system, it's a good system. It was a good system. It's got lost its way through the years of politicians. You know, because as we know, politicians make laws and rules and regulations according to their lifestyle to make their life more comfortable, and they're always looking to the future, correct? You know, like that's how it is.
Right.
So I mean, it needs to be more of a community thing of going forward and establishing this bike current and not just, you know, a law that goes into effect and then all of a sudden they get to work out all the details. These details should have been part of the victims and survivors and the parents have had to go through this. They should have been part of the process. And I think that's – I agree with you. And, you know, they have – you know, a lot of the guys who are being convicted of this are worth $92,000 a year in California on parole, and their minimum of is usually 5 years. So it's also a business that they've that's what kind of eluded the effectiveness of the system because it's money's involved now, and now you're convicting people, and it's diluting the purpose. And no, I 100%, and that's why. I never say take away a system. I always say we need to revise it. Just like prison. I think prison, you know, I do agree that we should have more mental health and we need to get rid of the prison because, I've been in prison. I know the mental health stuff. But at the same time, there are some people that need to be locked away forever, if not shot. Absolutely, yes. 100%.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be an advocate if I didn't agree that.
Just like the parasite that I covered a couple of days ago on my life, this 80-year-old man gets busted with 2,600 pounds of personally printed out material in his home that he himself printed out on his own printer of sexually explicit images of children. Over 220,000 individual images of children he printed out, and he's facing 25 counts of receiving and printing out child explicit material. I mean, he'll be dead in the next 2 years. But why does I don't think he did? That's guilty. There's the evidence. There's the perpetrator. He did. There's no fucking denying it. Execute him. I don't care what anybody says. Execute him. I'm sorry. There's no reason for him to go on living.
Well, and you have to look at the fact that the man's 80 years old. And if this went so long without being detected, how long has it been happening before those images, you know? Where did it start from? And that's the problem I have. Like a lot of the cases, you know, they're being unseen because these people are, you know, figures of the community. You know, they're getting away with this stuff right underneath the nose. Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, yes, you will see a pedophile from here and there that will meet society's description of a pedophile. You know, the creepy old haired, old crotchety grandpa dude with the creepy old 80s style van with no windows in it. You know, you'll get those, but a lot of times these parasites, they're the leaders of your churches. They're the prosecuting attorneys. They're the judges sitting behind the gavel. They're the lawyers that are defending these criminals. They're police officers. They're detectives. They're pillars of the community, and people don't see that. But if you look at it, those are the ones that are actually committing most of these crimes. That's the bottom line. Anybody can come at me all they want with these numbers, and like I got it. You know what I mean?
What
I got this shit on lockdown.
Though? So we talked about
I spend hours a day doing this. What's that?
What is it? 99% of these acts are actually within the family or something like that, or the community. It's not even the guy.
No, it's 97% all sexual abuse happens within the family. A dad, a mom, a sister, a brother, a cousin, a nephew, a niece, an uncle, an aunt, a grandpa, a grandma. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. I mean, and why is it like that? Because really, how often do we just allow our kids to go around perfectly random fucking strangers? We don't do that. We just don't do that, right? I mean, I know I didn't. I mean, I don't. My kids are almost full grown and out of the house now, and I still don't let them go out with strangers. You know what I mean? Like I know who the fuck my kids are hanging around. I know what they're doing. And so, I mean, it's no surprise to me that the number is that high. And it's that way. I mean, who has better access to children than members of the family? And another thing is, and this gets misconstrued when people hear me say it, so let me get it out there. I am not saying that all step parents or step children are this way, because they're not. But when you get a divorce and you remarry and you have a stepdad, you bring a stepdad or a stepmom or a stepbrother or sister into your relationship, you raise the risk of your child becoming a victim of sexual assault 99% more. You put your child at 99% more risk of being sexually abused. And that's not saying that everybody who is a step parent or a step family member is an abuser. That's not. You put your kid at that much more risk automatically by bringing a step parent or step brother, sister, auntie, uncle into your home. That's the reality of it.
No, well said.
You know?
And the thing is, just to emphasize on that, when people are talking about that, you know, and they're like, well, you know, this is the thing, folks. We're also talking about cognitive factors of the environment, which is drug abuse, alcoholism, the lifestyle that you live. That's also contributing to these risk numbers. So if you're not into drugs and you're not into alcohol and partying and that lifestyle, these numbers probably don't I can't think of the word.
These numbers don't do it justice.
Your numbers are going to be different. They're going to, but let me say this: if you're going to churches, then you're just as at risk, because a lot of the stuff that happens is at the churches, and we have to take that into accountability. Because like when I was abused, my stepfather was a fireman. You know, one of the greatest heroes in the town and city. You know, he was well respected, and come to find out the guy was an undercover drug dealer, and he was a pedophile, and he molested me and my sister, like his own daughter actually.
Right.
So like this is what right. Aaron's talking about. Like these are prominent members of society, and the thing is that they box everybody in, and pretty much it's like a magician. You know, here, let me show you my left hand while my right hand does the trick. And so when we're talking about
right.
categories and stereotypes, let me tell you something. The windowless van with eye hooks and, driving around your neighborhood, the likelihood of that happening, like the brother said, 97%. You have a 3% chance of that happening. So, you know, and I think that's like kind of like people throwing shade. You know, you have that mother down the street or that father down the street that's, you know, doing what he's doing, and then he's sitting there talking about all these creeps on the street, you know, where it's like, dude, these people are monitored, you know. They're already on a radar, but you're not. And that's what we have to look at, like, you know, what are the signs when you're looking at a child as being FA'd or emotionally any type of abuse going in a home from your professional opinion?
Well, from my opinion, the biggest sign, the first signs that you'll see is a lot of kids, especially if they're being SA'd, they're gonna instantly start peeing the bed. It's weird, but that's one of the biggest signs right there. If your child goes from being completely happy go lucky for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 year old to a no light in their eyes, if their moods just totally change, they're probably being bullied, harassed, victimized, sexually abused. So those are the first signs. You're gonna notice happy child, depressed child. You're gonna notice anger issues, like my child would, you know, your child might, you know, usually your child's a good sharer, and sometimes, you know, kids have the little bumps, but now my kid don't want to share anything with this person, and instantly goes into a rage whenever anybody tries to take their blocks. Just things like that. Like, the best advice I can give a parent is, you know your child, you know how they should act, and how they act and their moods, and And if you notice those regular moods and those regular attitudes can just change all of a sudden, start asking questions. Because something's going on. Because kids don't change like that unless there's a reason for it. And usually if things are happening to a child that are positive, that child changes in a positive direction. And if negative, just like, I mean, for adults, I mean, shit, you know what I mean? Like, I know when things are going good for me, I feel better. When they're going bad for me, I feel worse. My attitudes change, you know? So just keep an eye out on your kids. Get to know your kids, man. Like, don't be afraid to ask questions. If your child from the age of 5 and under comes to you and tells you that somebody is sexually abusing them, you believe your child. It's a 99.7% that they're telling the truth. There's a 0.3% chance that your child is lying to you about it or making it up. So if your child is between the ages of 6, 5, 4 and younger, and they come to you and tell you that Uncle Bob or Aunt Sally's doing this and touching their no-no squares, believe your child, because that's what's happening. I'm telling you right now. And in that 0.3%, the only reason why it's that 0.3% is because they've been put up to the fact to lie about the abuse. And that's very rare. But it does happen. So just listen to your kids, man. Just listen to them. If they tell you they're being abused or bullied, they're being abused or bullied. Period.
Yeah. Those are powerful numbers, bro. Like, really, if you think about it, the 90s. That's crazy.
Every two minutes in the United States, a child is being aggressively pursued online by a parasite to be trafficked in this country. Now, people think, okay, well, I mean, trafficked is, you know, they're going to take me from this point A and take me clear across the country to point B, maybe even trafficking literally is the moving of children or adults from place to place, whether it's next door, down the street, in the next town, in the next state, in the next city, in the next fucking country. It's trafficking. So people have this misconception about looking at trafficking like, well, they got to, you know, trafficking is like long distance or coming in from another country or going out to another country. Yes, that's trafficking. But back in my town, like when I was 14, there was a guy, his name was Nacho, swear to God. he was trafficking girls from my hometown to Mexico, and we turned him in. You know what I mean? But that was before people really even knew what trafficking was, you know what I mean? But back in the early to mid 90s. So like this has been going on for years, and it's only getting worse. Like when they sex trafficking of women, men, children, all ages, all, like, there's not one favorite color of skin to be sex trafficked, or like everybody's wanted: fat ones, skinny ones, big ones, tall ones, short ones, midget ones, wide ones, skinny ones, thin ones, you know, one-legged ones. There's a menu out there for all of them. And these traffickers, they don't care. As long as they can fill what's on their list, they're going to do it. And it's a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry. Like, they make these guys, they, like, our governments know that they make so much money, they classify it as a fucking industry. Like, that means what? Like, basically, it's organized, you know? I mean, the only thing they're not doing is paying taxes on their shit. So, I mean, it's disgusting. If people realize how many parasites they walk past every single day, and they will never know that they're a sex offender, or they're actively abusing a child at the moment, it would disgust you. You would freak out. You would probably just go around and start punching people in the face all day long.
Yeah. No, and I remember Rockin' Robin was talking about, you know, that she, everywhere she goes, she's looking at people now and wondering what if, you know, and that's a horrible way to live, man. I mean, it's just not to live like that, but that's just a horrible reality that we're living in today of that you know, the guy I buy my milk and eggs from that I have to question, like, I don't know about that one. And ever since she said that, like, I think about my neighborhood, you know, I'm like, I wonder. It's just a cold reality of what it's become because of what the laws and the land has allowed, you know, and like you say, you know, you do something, you get, 4 to 6 years is like the average term.
Like the max. That's like a max in Idaho. Yeah, that's like a max in Idaho.
Yeah, that's nothing. Are you kidding
me?
And you get good time?
No, like here's
you're only doing 80%.
Yeah. Like here's an example. This is a real life example. I witnessed this with my own eyes. I heard the judge speak these words with my own ears. He was addressing my brother-in-law and another man. Okay. My brother-in-law got arrested for drug trafficking. Okay. Not good to traffic drugs, whether pro-drug or anti-drug. It's not good. Probably shouldn't do it. He gets busted with like 80 pounds of all kinds of shit. He goes to his court hearing. He goes to the sentencing. And he stands up there in front of the judge. And the judge looks at him and goes, Mr. So-and-so, your life has been so long since your last drug crime. If it wouldn't have been 20 years, I would be giving you life in prison without parole for the rest of your fucking life. If it wouldn't have been 20 years or more since your last drug crime. He sentenced my brother-in-law to 26 years fixed. Getting out for 26 years. No two for ones. No. That was the plea bargain. That was the plea bargain. Okay. That was the plea deal. 26 years fixed. The parasite that got sentenced right before him, he got sentenced. He's in the federal courthouse on his fifth count. This would be his fifth time going back to prison for this shit. Okay. So four convictions already in the past. The judge gave him 5 fucking years. 5 years.
No shit. 5 years.
The judge gave this parasite who has destroyed at least five innocent children's lives and made their lives a living hell for the rest of their lives. Years. My brother-in-law, who brought drugs in so other drug dealers could sell their drugs to drug addicts, who are usually adults, who are usually sexually abused victims when they were children, go figure, okay, gave him 26 years fixed. This parasite got 5 years for damaging another child for the rest of their life. This dude right here got 26 years. He's in his 50s already. He'll be in his late 70s before he fucking gets out of prison. And then he's got to go, as soon as he gets done doing that, he's got to go do the 6 years in state prison that the state gave him for his drug crimes, for the state crimes. So where's the balance at?
So I got a question for you. And I love these conversations. Huh. Do you think that maybe the system is set up where they know that it's a sickness, so it's a revolving door, rather than like the like they want to keep them in and out. They want the bullshit in the community. They want to keep, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. Now here, let me put it to you like this. Do you really think our county police, our city police and our courthouses can have all this top of the line, up to date, computer equipment, heating and cooling systems, I mean, top of the line, everything, squad cars, patrol cars, guns, badges, you know, all of it, you know, all the way down. Do you really think that the mayor pays for his apartment or for his house? They got to make money somehow. It's a guaranteed revolving door. Like if they would have declared a war on pedophilia when they declared the war on drugs, our world, our country would probably be in a way better place. Like they took all this focus on drugs, because drugs are bad, and they are, but some of them. drugs are bad, so let's take 80% of our resources and shove them into this fucking war on drugs program, and then we're going to dedicate a certain amount of officers, a certain amount of detectives. We're going to train canine units. We're going to we're heading up this war on drugs, okay? Maybe they should have declared a war on pedophilia, took a quarter of all those resources used for the war on drugs and applied it to the war on pedophilia, and we probably wouldn't have so many drug addicts living on the street looking for drugs these days. If you ask an honest to God drug addict, if they were sexually abused as a child, I guarantee you 99% of them are going to tell you that they were sexually abused as a child. Now, I don't know what came first, the child and the sex abuse, or the semi-teenager to adult and drug abuse. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It goes hand
eliminate the pedophilia, you'll probably eliminate a lot of drug addicts, a lot of innocent people becoming drug addicts. Because a lot of us seek out that comfort from what we feel like is going to mask and hide what we're feeling and take that pain away from us. You know what I mean? I'm a recovering drug addict myself.
And clinically, call that, drug addiction as a symptom, not an illness, and because they're dealing with something more. And you're absolutely right. From a counselor standpoint, most of my clients have all experienced, the ones that have been in the drug addiction arena, a lot have to do with sexual trauma or childhood abuse that they're not addressing, they haven't. And that's where the byproduct versus product comes in. And, you know, just to clarify what you're saying from a clinical standpoint, you're absolutely right. It's a coping strategy to deal with what's going on and nothing's getting addressed. But no, you're absolutely right, dude. If they sat there and did the war on pedophilia the way they did on drugs, if Joe Biden would have sat there and done a pedophilia bill, I can only imagine what it would be like today. But, it just shows where they're at, and because I believe, it's just my personal opinion, that most of the politicians are on the take with them, and it's a big old industry, like the whole Epstein Island with the even the address. And then if you go down that list, and what pisses me off is that they have a list of everyone that visited that island. Not a city, not a town, not a bar, not a place, a freaking island just for that. And yet all these people are off the hook, and there's no RICO Act on that. There's no task force to go investigate and bust down their doors, but yet you sit there and you go visit some dude, that has a friend in Al-Qaeda. All of a sudden you're in Guantanamo Bay, getting waterboarded, and it's like, but no, I just believe that that they're all in on it together, and it's like a Illuminati thing. I don't know what to call it. I agree with you, though. They should do a war on.
I did a series of lives on my Get to Know channel on YouTube a little while back, and it had to do with the number of reported trafficking cases in each state in the United States. Okay. So, I was blown away, like legitimately blown away by came in first. Now, if I was to ask you what state do you think was the worst or had the worst cases, the most cases of trafficking, what would your guess be? What would your guess be?
Oh shit. Kentucky or something like that. Some backwoods.
You're not even close. Now, it's kind of a trick question, because really Washington D.C. is not a state. So, Washington D.C. has had more cases in 2021, more cases of trafficking recorded and caught than any other state in the United States per capita, hands down. The worst possible, by a big margin.
I was thinking.
Nope, you're all wrong. Somebody in my chat says Texas, Arizona, Tennessee, Arkansas. Nope, Washington D.C. Washington D.C. And it makes sense. Like who makes the laws? Who makes the laws and penalties for these crimes? Politicians.
Yeah. It's almost like it's a stacked deck.
I mean, how do you even argue that? it is. It is. Like if you're in a position of power to make a penalty for a law that you commit and break, what are you going to – are you going to make it so – like, for me, if I was in a position of power to make a law for what you get sentenced for possession of marijuana in Idaho, okay, I would make the penalty – whoever busts you has to give you 3 more ounces a week, okay? So you don't get no jail time because my ass ain't going to fucking jail. You know what I mean? Like, I like finding quirky little ways like that to get points across people. Like, I mean, if you're a pedophile and you're in a position of power to make false penalties, and you yourself are a pedophile and you participate in this fucking deplorably disgusting action, are you going to make sure that you just get a slap on the hand and you get your job back? Or are you going to make it so you get a 47% case? You know what I
mean? Yeah. And what's crazy about that is that there's a harsher law for statutory rape than it is for touching a child. The weirdest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Statutory rape, yeah. They will send you
I had a friend.
Numerous years.
I had a friend back when we was in high school, back in the late 90s, when we was in high school. He was dating this girl for 2.5-3 years before he turned 18. She was a year and a half younger than him. He, on his 18th birthday, her mom and dad filed statutory charges against him, and they'd already been having sex for a year and a half, because they'd been together for quite some time. And he went to 10 years. For doing something that he was already doing before he turned 18, but as soon as he turned 18, now and he had a registry. He died on the registry because of that shit. That's not a sex offender to me. I'm sorry, that's not.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, and I appreciate that, clearing that up. And you know, that's what makes your channel so special. You know, is that you're not boxing people in. You have a line more, and you're like, well, I don't know, man. It is a judgment call. And I think that your judgment is very keen in what you're doing, and I appreciate it. And we have like 6 minutes left. And I'm doing this from my phone today.
Oh, wow.
So I can't really see the board. So if there's any comments or questions, I'm so sorry I cannot see it. But if you can, please reach out to Aaron at Get to Know Stop on the YouTube channel, and really like explore this man. Like, bro, you're doing a service, and you're doing what's uncommon and what's unpopular. And thank you for that. And that, you know, that's a sign of leadership. And it really, people need to take on board and take that in, as far as, you know, what they're doing in their life and what their purpose is, and just keep doing what you're doing, man. And I just really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart as a survivor myself. And, you know, I know you are as well. And for all the other survivors that, you know, this is a safe spot. This is a spot where we get to come and speak. And what I love about your show is that, you know, you could sit there and tell somebody to fuck off. You know, sometimes that's a good feeling, you know, it's like, fuck you. And there's no filter.
Yep.
There's no, you know, hey, you got to be a professional. And sometimes we just need to be able to scream, fuck you. And this is not right, and this is not fair, and this never should have happened. And I encourage any other survivor out there or victim going through this to please reach out to this brother and actually, you know, give your pain to him. He understands. He's not one of those guys in the suits that's just trying to – he's not making money off this. Trust me. And, you know, it's not
never
one of those –
never will I ever.
Yeah, and he's not sitting there telling you what you want to hear. He is very blunt. He knows where it's coming from, and he can speak from not just a professional level, but also personal. And that makes a difference. Like all these other, a lot of these counselors are full of shit, straight up. They sit your kid on a couch. If you have a child that's gone through sexual trauma or any type of abuse to the child, send them to people like us that can actually talk about it, that actually could relate to it. Not just some paper that says we're qualified to diagnose and to tell you that your kid's fucked up, because that's just not right. Because I'm going to be honest, I've never come across a counselor in my life as a child that has helped me, ever. And I've been in the system since 8. So let's do the math on that. So, brother, you want to give your contact info?
Yeah. My email is getknow@getknow208@gmail.com. My YouTube channel is Get to Know, all one word, capital K, capital G, capital K, underscore stop, all capitalized, S-T-O-P, stop stands for Stand Tough on Pedophilia. And I'm on, I got Facebook group, Get to Know, it's a private group, they got asked to join. Anybody that's asked to join, nobody will be turned away. Man, I appreciate you letting me have your platform. We just got to make sure we do something. We got to do this now. We've all sat on our asses way too long about this. And let me handle the tough subjects. Let me handle the tough questions. I'll do the dirty work. I just need your guys' support. Something else I wanted to say real quick, but some reason I'm drawing a blank. Hang on.
You got time?
Oh, for all professional reasons, I am not a professional counselor. I have no degree. I have no diploma in any motherfucking kind of counseling. I'm a person who has been on some really really extreme sides of the fence in my life. And I have a lot of useful knowledge up here and a lot of useful help that I can be. If I can't figure it out and help you, or my wife can't, I need in this amazing community of Get to Know. I know together we can help each other. There's not one person will be left behind in here. So this is Get to Know. I love all you guys. Tell your friends about it.
And you're live streaming right now, right?
I am live streaming right now. Yes, I am.
Nice. Welcome, everybody. Get to Know Stop at Blunt Talk Radio. Glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure is mine.
Dude, you got a great following and some damn good people. Old Outlaw Trucker and Rockin' Robin, and there's a few others that I got to get comments and questions from. And just you guys, you have an amazing following, and I just encourage – you know, everybody join this small community, make it large, make it powerful. I mean, it's powerful already, but make it global. Make this shit, like, let the politicians, let the people hear this shit. And I just want to say thank you to my followers and my listeners for...
Straight fucking savage, baby.
The
savage,
what?
Baby. You got to be savage,
yes,
on this
sir?
Shit.
Oh, man, I love you, man. I love your truth and your honesty about it. And you know what? No fucks given, really. Like, there's no apologies. And, just really, God, thank you for what you're
doing.
Never
will I ever.
And especially your community, bro. I mean, I find as being a host and the stuff I do that my support comes from my viewers, my supporters, from the love that I get from them. Right or wrong, they're behind me. And I know you have the same thing. I mean, you got some tough ones. You got some real savage motherfuckers in your community that follow you, and I know that. And I just want to give a huge shout-out to all of them and what they're doing, supporting you and that, being part of the cause, not part of the problem. And I just want to say thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend. What's left? Have a good week. Reach out to this brother. Let's make a difference. Let's be purposeful. Let's be meaningful. Let our life mean something. If we don't stand for something, we fall for anything. People do not fall for anything. Reach out to this man. Let's get the support he needs to make this global. That's my goal for this year. I love you, brother.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Remember, right, everybody, one child is one too many. One child is one too many.
Yes, sir. And for that, I'm going to close this show. And I
all right, brother.
Thank our guest. And you're always welcome here. All right, y'all.
All right, great. And you too on my channel, bro. Anytime.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Bye, guys.